This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Hi there, this is Alex. In last week's Radio EcoShock program, I surprised listeners with a very different point of view. Former whole earther Stuart Brand came out swinging for nuclear power, genetic engineering, and geoengineering as the new green. I'll reply in just a minute. Our main speaker this week is a refreshing antidote to Brand. David Corton was recorded at the University of British Columbia. He's a well-traveled specialist in the economy and cultural systems, author of the book When Corporations Rule the World, and many others. Corton has a much better idea, in my opinion. We'll finish up with an example of corporate concentration, the functions that Stuart Brand says are inevitable. This time, it's our enslavement of animals in concentrated animal feedlot operations. There's a set of two new books out, and we'll talk with editor Daniel Imhoff. What is the matter with Stuart Brand? I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. There are so many holes and howlers in former whole earther Stuart Brand greened, anti-green position, it's hard to know where to start. I am still formulating my reply based on his online book, his conversation that I recorded, including another 32 minutes not yet played but offered by download, and his speech the same night at the University of British Columbia, which is online now. Here is one exchange we had at that conversation I recorded in Vancouver on October 5, 2010. Alex Smith. The argument could be made that you see the answer to the climate being rectified by technology, or one might say, more human hubris. More technology and more hubris. We can see how that has fouled up so badly so far.
We haven't fouled up so badly. Come on. You don't like your cell phone?
How can Brand say we haven't fouled up so badly right after warning us that climate change may drive us to extinction? Things aren't so bad? Or this exchange where I ask Brand to explain his former self as a self-sufficiency communal sort of guy versus his present big money boosterism. He belittles the question, of course. Alex Smith, you started out with the back to the land, putting out a book for people to be self-supportive. In those days of the Whole Earth Catalog, that's where I came to know you, but you've moved completely away from that.
No, I haven't at all.
I haven't heard anything about that. I haven't heard about chickens. We haven't learned about how to grow your own food.
Engineered chickens with even more nutrition in them and more melodious clucks. That is coming, not by any large corporation. People are going to do that in their backyard, or chickens that sing like canaries.
In fact, as we hear in the Radio EcoShock interview on concentrated animal feedlot operations, chickens have been mutilated by big business. They are shut in cages with no movement and no light, cannot walk, have their beaks clipped off. Not much singing like canaries in that corporate design. Later, evaluating the 1970s, where he was the champion, Brand finds that, quote,
AIDS may have been one outcome of the sexual promiscuousness. Certainly a lot of case of crabs disguised as a revolution is how one person described the 60s.
Sexual diseases were the only outcome of the sexual revolution, Stuart? Remember when you were supposed to marry a virgin and then find out if the sexual chemistry worked? Should everyone have stayed in their closets? Oh, please. People don't need to bother going back to growing their own food. The country, Brand tells us, is a place to be shunned, left by most of humanity, left to the wilds of nature, and we presume the factory farms that are feeding all those city folk. Really, it was a sad verdict on the old Stuart Brand, rather than a whole generation. The Stuart Brand many knew and loved is dead, replaced by the new green businessman who tells us we are gods. We should push risky technology until we make it, or go extinct trying. Then Stuart Brand goes into an appreciation of the multi-billionaires acting where governments are gridlocked, men such as Andrew Carnegie, who founded so many libraries.
Rockefeller Foundation, I know one of the mid-level Rockefellers, and they've been an astounding dynasty, not only of wonderful people generation after generation, but really smart philanthropy generation after generation.
He missed the source of that great Rockefeller wealth, monopolistic oil, the climate toxin. Apparently, he has not read another appreciation of the Rockefellers, the book, Thy Will Be Done, The Conquest of the Amazon, Nelson Rockefeller and the Evangelism in the Age of Oil, written by Gerard Colby. A good Baptist Christian tale of not-so-wonderful people taking over the lands of other people. And what about the dark history of David Rockefeller's Citigroup? All those petrodollars and narco dollars recycled, the espionage and intrigue, were they all wonderful people? The Rockefeller Brothers' philanthropy has indeed helped some environmental causes, including donations to the Great Bear Rainforest Campaign. But did you see their renunciation of fossil fuels and their giant campaign to save the climate of the earth? Neither did I. Brand tries to appear like a person very plugged in. He goes to important meetings. He's just back from one in Washington, D.C. Billionaires are his friends. He has become an apologist for this system, which is eating the earth, the sky, and the ocean. His idol Warren Buffett, held out as an example of true capitalism in the recorded conversation, could make a sincere change, namely, stop hauling endless trainloads of coal out of the West to the Midwest power plants using his train company. No sign of that. In an earlier Radio EcoShock piece, I already covered Warren Buffett's non-statements about the coming climate crisis. Richard Branson could denounce senseless travel on super-polluting airplanes, on Virgin Airlines, and his exotic travel destinations. He has not renounced his bread and butter, but dabbles in space tourism as well, as though the atmospheric damaging hobby is what the world needs now. Bill Gates has been extremely slow to the global climate change table just emerging this year, and has produced nothing there yet except an idea for a new type of traveling wave nuclear reactor, something in the long-distant future. None of these charitable billionaires seems able to keep up with the darker side of money, people like the notorious Koch brothers who are sabotaging both national politics and climate change action. We can hardly talk about all the other multi-billionaires around the world, the Russians, Chinese, Arabs, Indians, and so on. What are their beneficial intentions? Where are they on climate change, except solidly on the wrong side, condemning our children to heat, floods, and rising seas? Most are holding on hard to their fortunes, jewels, and power. All the solutions assume the capitalist financial system will survive, fortunes of the beneficent wealthy will remain intact, and will fly higher, ever higher, into becoming the gods of technology. I think the system is bankrupt, and I am not alone. This is part of a continuing plea that governments are useless, so his friends, the multimillionaires and billionaires, should step in and take private action. Brand almost threatens that these individuals may step in with geoengineering. They have the money. It only takes $300 million a year, he says. And Stuart Brand is meeting with other very rich people from the Silicon Valley to independently fund research into human cooling of the planet by injecting more pollution. Who will geoengineer the planet? In Brand's speech to the UBC students the same night, he flew by the idea of ocean acidification coming out of geoengineering, admitting it was a drawback. The plan isn't perfect, but still necessary, he says. Brand does a disservice by minimizing this risk, but then he minimizes all risks, even the most hair-raising things like nuclear waste, dirty bombs, and wild genetic engineering done by the general public to create more pleasant chickens, I suppose. I was almost at a loss to explain my complex take on Stuart Brand as a social phenomenon. He claims to be green, but a new kind of green, that denounces all the greens before him, especially Greenpeace. He laments regulation, even environmental regulation, as an impediment to free invention in business. That sounds so familiar, like the Cato Institute. He's a kind of green anti-environmentalist who renounces even his former self as an explorer, back to the land, self-sufficiency, all that. The billionaires will get into a big league to save us. That seems naive to me, to say the least. And can we wait for the saviors while doing little ourselves to change this culture of death? At the end of his speech to the University of British Columbia staff and students, Stuart Brand said, "This is a whatever-it-takes deal, folks. We may not get out of this century alive." But, he says, it's all still a great adventure. Meanwhile, the nuclear power push is moot in the United States. Brand didn't tell his students that the fossil fuel industry has stalled any big nuclear construction until decades later to help us avert the catastrophe. It's too late. Even the huge international plans will likely founder on the coming depression's destruction of capital. Most will never be built. So why is Stuart Brand still flogging dead nuclear power as a solution in the United States? Brand is certainly now representing himself as a friend and apologist for some American and British billionaires and other movers and shakers. he became a pollinator from the counterculture to the business world, and in my opinion, became a kind of character to inspire one's dinner table conversation or corporate meeting. It's harsh, but that's my take. As such, Stuart Brand serves a purpose in his public talks to elucidate what the response or non-response of some English-speaking wealthy man is. Listen to him, because you will hear the progressive capitalist buzz. Surprise, surprise, all it takes is more technology and more big business, and it will be run by the very rich. Brand said he didn't see much difference between governments and corporations. They're just different ways of organizing people. I see a big difference, don't you? There are giant holes in Brand's simplifications. Some of his statements in the afternoon were preposterous. Nature is what we make of it. We are gods. We just need to improve a little. There is nothing wrong with technology. We just need a lot more of it. We can fix every mistake. Everyone will be performing genetic experiments in their garden sheds. If some horrible form results, we'll find it and exterminate it with some other life form, as if one can take such mistakes back. He sees the genetic game to be like computer hacking. Mistakes just make the system stronger. Try taking back life forms like rabbits in Australia, zebra mussels in the Great Lakes, and all the invasive species we already introduce. Now try to correct the superbug created in a university lab contest. I could go on. I don't classify Brand as a climate denier. He is a true believer, the most desperate, and still manages to profit from both the corporate world and the crisis in his own way. He is a businessman. As an idea pollinator moving between some powerful money and some bright minds, Stuart Brand does bring us some fresh perspectives. He can roll out the California hype like few others. I recommend listening to him to see what one big money line is these days. I disagree with Brand's hubris and his ideas. In fact, now that I have met him, I don't like Stuart Brand, and I felt he didn't like me. Brand made it apparent that we, as a small audience, had failed him that afternoon. I asked him if he would like an MP3 of the recording. He replied, "No, there's nothing there I have not heard before, many times." He is so great, and we so small. Likely, we don't know any billionaires at all. I'm Alex Smith for Radio Eco Shock.
Check out the Radio Eco Shock website. We're at ecoshock.org.